Blog Talk Radio.
Be acting crazy. Anyway, people, welcome once again to the No Chasers show. I am JT, the co-host of this show. We have no other one but the my man himself, Mac Williams, who's the host. Without further ado, I'll lay the number out that you need to call if you want to call. 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. And then I'll step aside and let the man bring us up.
Hey, everybody. I'm on my way to the Goodman. So I'm going to be broadcasting live from the Goodman doing this show. I hope you guys can hear me, but I'm in an area where I might drop. But, you know, it's live radio, y'all. Things happen. I can't say everything will happen perfect. In fact, Jerry is about to call Shaq on the phone now. We're going to see if we can reach him and get him on the line. So we can talk to him, because, again, I know him pretty well. He may be distracted, so maybe we need to call him. And so let's call him and get him on the – see if we can get him on the phone, Jerry. Can you still hear
okay.
me?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we can call him up. I gave you the number. Let's see if we can call him up.
Right. Right. See if he's going to pick up here.
Hey, what's up, Shaq?
Who is?
Mac. You're on the radio. We had to call you. You ain't remember to call in.
Huh? Oh. Oh, man.
You're on the radio, man. We had to call you. We was waiting. We was like, okay. I was like, all right. I was like, he might be distracted. Let's call him. So we just called you. Me and my co-host Jerry just gave you a call. You're on my show, No Chaser. We got some people on who are listening. So without further ado, the man... the myth, the legend.
Ain't no damn myth.
Some people you are.
Who else on here? I can come, can I? Say no chaser, right?
No, my man Jerry. He's the co-host of my radio show. Jerry, you.
What are we talking about?
What's up, my man? How you feel?
We just going.
I'm good, man.
We just going to interview you for the hour, man. We just want people want to ask some questions. People have ask questions and things about you, people who don't really know you. You know, so we just going.
Man, I was about to go drink.
Well, you can go drink after.
Yeah, I'm in Vegas.
What you say?
All right, who got the questions? Hurry up with the questions.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway.
Sorry, right. I was just playing with
you. No, you wild, dude. No, but one of the first questions I do want to ask you, and I think most of our listeners ask, is people have seen your Nike spot. And a lot of people ask you to expound on.
I cannot hear you, Mac.
Can you hear me now?
Can you stand in front of the phone? Stop looking around.
I'm not moving. I'm sitting in my car. Not moving. Can you hear me now?
No, it sounds like you follow you down the hallway.
All right, hold on. All right, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to stay still. All right, my question is, people want to know, growing up, where did you go to high school at? That's one of the questions I got that people tapped in at. What high school did you go to, and were you who you are now then? I know the answer to that, but when I ask you these questions, it's more for the people who don't know.
Went to Spingarn Senior High School, Washington, D.C., and no, I was not the person I am now.
Well, is that because you hadn't honed your skills completely, or did you, or was it that you just got didn't get the chance?
No, I had to wait my turn. Everybody who played high school basketball, football, any sport, know the seniors come first.
Right. So you were what grade? Oh, okay. So were you a freshman, junior, or was you what was it when you had? Because I heard you had a great team. You were on a great high school basketball.
Sophomore year, I had a good team.
Okay. So you didn't really get on until like your junior.
Yeah, it didn't start being recognized in my junior year.
Okay. My next question, if Jerry doesn't have one, is.
I do have one. I just want to. Where did you get the name Baby Shaq, and how early in your career did you get the name Baby Shaq?
Oh man, that was. I got that name in junior high school, ninth grade.
Wow.
Basically, I was grabbing rebounds and blocking shots and doing everything Shaq was doing at the time he was drafted. So, I guess it fit him. I wasn't the biggest on my team, but I was doing everything.
Wow. And can you tell people how, I think a lot of people don't know. Can you tell the story of how you came to come from nowhere to get on the N1 mixtape tour? How did you get discovered? Can you tell people how you got that? And a lot of people don't know that story. I do, but a lot of people don't know that.
Oh, it's kind of funny because It was a case of being in the right place at the right time. I was actually at the gym in the morning. We played basketball in, every other morning during the week. Just so happened, the morning I was up there, a scout was up there looking for players to play against them. And the person they was looking for actually wasn't there. And he saw me playing, and he asked me that I want to play. I told him, I told him, hell no. I told him hell no at first.
Before you go any further, why'd you tell him hell no?
Cause like I seen it on TV and I knew like it wasn't real basketball, so I was like I didn't want to be a part of it. And then he came back and said they paid $500 a game. I was like okay cool, sign me I'm not going to turn down no money. Nobody in their right mind will turn down money.
And from there, I mean, how did it move from there? You went and played, and I can't remember how it was, but I think they said you killed for about, what, 3 or 4 games? I mean, tell that story.
I played the last 5 games on the tour, and I was averaging 35 points a game, and they just signed me out to the I did the same summer that Spider won the contest.
Wow.
And they signed me the same summer Spider got signed.
Okay. And let me ask you this. Now that chapter, so to speak, the and once the whole thing was kind of over, let me ask you this. Do you regret what you did or going into that, even though it has a stigma to it, or is that something you're grateful that you had?
Oh, hell no. I don't regret nothing I did in life.
Okay. Okay.
Because if I did anything different, you probably wouldn't know me.
Okay.
That's true. Because I like the one thing, like, you know, a lot of people don't know, but I do, that, you know, you are a very humble person. And this is something that I find that, you know, like we know, me and you know Kevin Durant, people like that. What I want to ask you is, I don't know if you've ever been asked this question. Where did you learn to be humble? I mean, where did you learn? Like, how did you learn that? Because there are a lot of people out here nowadays who get this kind of notoriety, even on a bigger stage, and they go crazy. They go hog wild. They get this ego, and I do what I want, and I need this and demand things. You've never been that type of person. So when as a child or growing up did you learn, like, that lesson to be, like, be humble? I don't know if it was something that you were told because obviously you weren't preparing for this because you didn't know this was coming. So where did you learn that lesson about being humble? How did you learn that lesson?
I learned that just by growing up. I've seen a lot of things, people fall quick. And I just say to myself, it won't be me. If I ever get the chance, it won't be me.
Okay. Jerry, you have any questions?
Not only that, the way, like, where I live, you can't be, you can't act big-headed from where I was raised at.
Okay. And tell us a little bit of, and tell the people who may not know, how was it that you were raised? I mean, what was it that the way you were raised taught you, you can't be proud and boisterous and all that. How did you, give anybody insight into really how that was, where you lived, and kind of what you might have went through or what have you? What was an average day for you in that lifestyle?
Went through a lot as a child. Mainly when my mother was a drug addict for most of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And that alone humbled me.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, until this day, I won't take aspirin or anything. Like, I won't take any drugs because of what my mother went through.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen you refuse aspirin. So I've seen that. And I thought that was weird, but then when you explained it to me, I understood. I was like, okay.
For that.
Well, yeah, if I had that experience, I guess I'd have
to. It don't make sense to most
weekend.
People, it makes sense to me.
No, it makes sense to me. It just didn't make sense at first. When you explained it, I was like, yeah, I guess if I went through something like that, I would probably feel that way about drugs too. And so that's where you learn pretty much how to be humble or what have you. Can you tell me what, as a child, were your happiest moments? Like, what made you happy? Other than playing basketball, what made you happy? Like, what did you look for?
Waking up every day.
Waking up every day. Okay. And let me ask you.
Waking up is the hardest part.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Where did you learn, when you honed your skills and you got really good and stuff like that, were you surprised at how good you were and how fast you got good when you started playing with the ball and started doing things?
No, not really.
Okay. Now, was your dad a gifted athlete?
Huh?
Was your dad a gifted athlete?
Yeah, my mother was too, my uncles.
Okay.
I'm the only one that actually made something out of it.
Oh, where did you get your work ethic? In order to get where you are right now, you had to put the time in. Where did that come from?
I never put no time into like doing drills or nothing like that. I just played basketball every day.
So you kind of got your...
I never played basketball with anybody my age. I always played with older guys.
Okay.
So you're not a typical... You're a gym rat, but you're not a typical gym rat. And it's funny, I know that because for you, most people would think that you get in the gym every day and you just drill, 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 drill. And I know you...
Yeah, because I don't want not nobody that's doing all like the training with the cones and all that, but the cones not going to steal the basketball from you.
Right.
The cones not going to block your shot. Cones ain't gonna do anything for you. I think that's a waste of time.
So you learn more from actually doing it in real live action as opposed to doing drill.
Yeah, learn from my mistakes.
Okay.
And from
you know
what
that mistake you play.
And from right. what it sounds like, you when you were coming up, you sounded like you wanted to play with better competition, so that would make you better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I always did that.
Okay. Was that by design, or was that just something your mama told you to do?
No, it just happened. It wasn't by design. It just happened.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask you, can you expound on, there was something you said in that video that was very profound to me, where you said your mom told you, play basketball, don't let basketball play you. Can you explain to the maybe young people or people who are listening to the radio, listening right now, to what that means? What that means? I mean, I know kind of what it means, but I want you to explain that to the kids out here. What that means when your mom said play basketball, but don't let it play you.
And it basically just means don't get used by the sport. Because you got a lot of AAU coaches and a lot of high school coaches that would just use the player just for that sport. and then after the season over, they would drop him.
Okay.
Like the player wouldn't even matter no more to him.
Okay.
Now, so I just say use the sport to your advantage.
Right. Okay. Where did you learn your business sense? Because what a lot of people don't know either is that you don't, I know some people think for some reason, they think I'm your agent, but I'm not. But you really haven't had but maybe one, I think, or two agents, but you really haven't had an agent for most of your career. So where did you learn your
None of my career.
Business? Well, none of your career. I know you have people who called themselves that but didn't do nothing for you. So I'm saying, so where did you learn?
That's why they didn't make no money. And they didn't do their job.
Right. So where did you learn that, like reading contracts and things like that? Where did you learn those things from? Who taught you that?
And I read a contract, sat down next to a dictionary.
Wow.
Whereas if they didn't understand, I look it up.
Wow.
It's simple because that's all you're paying somebody else to do.
Right. That's true. You have any questions here?
It sounds like you've been basically a self-made man. So whatever that you decided to do, you wanted to do it on your own terms and not let anybody dictate it to you. Am I right in assuming that?
Yeah, you right. That way I will be satisfied with it.
Well, at least you'd be mad at yourself if anything went wrong, huh?
Yeah, I can only blame myself. Like, there's no point in thinking nobody else.
Right. Now, let me ask this. Can you tell everybody I know your experience this past year. You played with Linkin Park, and you played on actually you were part of two championship teams last year, which was Linkin Park and with Beltway Bombers. I'd like to get your impressions on
CBL champs.
Yeah, that's right. CBL champs. So I want people to kind of get to notice. How was the year for you this year in the semi pro, playing semi pro basketball? How did you enjoy it, and how did you enjoy that whole experience?
Oh man, it was great, man. I can't complain. They had a good year. First off, the ACPBL won the championship. I was voted against for the MVP, which kind of it pissed me off, but it let me know how good I was.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right.
Why would that piss you off?
No, it didn't really piss me off because I already knew what it was.
Okay.
That whole situation
was funny to me. But Mac was more mad than I was.
I was more mad than he was. Yeah, I was. And that was because just so people know, that was because I'm the assistant coach. So for me, I heard and saw all the things that were being said about Shaq, in an effort not to let him have it, he was already MVP last year. So this would have been back-to-back. But...
Yeah, and their story was it wouldn't be good for the league to have me named MVP 2 years in a row. Like,
right.
How would that not be good for the league?
Right. And people were doing that kind of stuff because they wanted their own person to win.
So they instead of going by stats, they voted, quote-unquote voted.
For people that they knew
were good. For somebody else that wasn't even in the MVP talks. Just so I wouldn't get it.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what happened. Yeah. And that was all you.
And the two teams that voted against me, I actually played against them like the last two games of the season. This what happened to be them two, and they said, "Told the commissioner, let's see what he do. Let's see what he do against our teams. Then we vote then." First team was Connecticut. I had 35 points and 15 rebounds and 6 assists. Second team was Delaware team, which
Delaware.
I had a triple double, and we beat them by 20. Beat both teams by 20.
And he had 44.
They still voted against me.
Yep, Delaware. He had, if I remember right, Delaware. He had 44, 20, and like 10 assists. It was just crazy. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
And
they still voted against me.
And they still voted against him.
Once again.
Yeah.
ran it to him again in the playoffs, beat the Connecticut team, had the same numbers, 34-15 again. Then played Delaware in the championship. I had I shot terrible that game. I had like 12, 10, and 8. I still almost had a triple double.
Yeah.
But and we beat him in the championship.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, coming through that, I think Shaq really realized just how good he was. You know, and you know, I think
you had to be there that whole weekend to see that, because like the Harvard team said, the first time we beat them, said the only reason why we beat them because we ran out of time. Now, what the hell kind of sense does that make?
Jerry, that's a literal quote.
The reason y'all beat us is you ran out of time.
Yeah. You just ran out of time. Really? Okay. You know.
Then the Delaware team said the only reason why we beat them because of the media timeouts.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But
you
the basketball media timeouts is for everybody in the damn building.
Everybody gets
a break in the building. The media timeout is just like a 2-minute break for everybody.
Right.
Exactly. So,
wow.
I mean, he went through a lot this year, but like he said, he figured out how good he was, you know. But he was pretty heated, because I remember at one point he told me, "I'm going back to street ball, man. I'm leaving the semi-pro thing alone." And I tried to talk him back into it. Eventually, I knew he would come back, but he did. But he finished it. But I think he was very satisfied with the results. I mean, we won the title. We're going to be defending it starting in October. You know, he's our what we call our franchise. Well, I always call him our franchise player, our guy. And we have a great team. And you know, but like I said,
we'll
I think you realize really
player.
How good he is.
And you see our team, you'll see. I just make more shots.
Right, but he liked
everybody's equal on that team. I just make more shots.
Yeah. Every game, Jerry, come out. Every game, Jerry, you're talking about 5 to 6 people in double figures, 5 to 6 players in double figures. So it's not like it's him, it's everybody. And nobody,
okay.
Our team is really
good. Yeah, and
then
the MVP of the playoffs was my center.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I got a question for you.
Okay.
You've been doing this for a while. Sooner or later, you're going to hang up your sneakers and not play at the same level, but maybe play just – pick up games or whatever. How long do you see yourself doing and playing at the level that you are right now?
No, I can do this as long as I want to. It's just I'm not gonna do it that long. I'm not gonna wear myself out and be like, so everybody be talking like, man, he used to be like this and he done fell off. I'm just gonna stop at the top of my game.
Yep. Yeah, he doesn't want to be one of those people
like
Joe
and have a great legacy and come back to the Wizards and all that get erased.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that.
I do have one question for you. It's a good question. I've always wanted to ask this question. You're older now, and one thing I haven't seen you, and I wonder if you'll ever do it. Will you ever get to a point where you start to work on your conditioning or work on certain things? Because you have to based on age to keep the level up. I know you haven't had to do that, I don't think, as of yet. But when you get to
that
point, are you going to
do that this winter?
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're going to go to the gym more often as far as working out on your –
I got to lose some more weight.
Okay. All right. And you have a plan on how to do that, and you know how to do that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I know how to do that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't need no personal training or nothing like that. I've seen enough at the gym. I didn't memorize everything.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. What is it ultimately now that motivates you? What motivates you now? What gets you when you play basketball? Because right now I know you're on tour with Ball Up, and 9 times out of 10 you may end up joining them. I'm not sure yet. You haven't told me yet, but I'm pretty sure if they got any kind of sense, they will sign you. But if you go with them and then you keep playing semi-pro, what are your goals the rest of the way? I mean, what's going to motivate you?
I have people to feed.
Okay.
my motivation. I have people to feed.
Okay. So is the game still fun to you?
Yeah, I still have fun. Yeah, once I stop having fun, I'm going to stop playing.
I know, because the way you said that, you kind of said it like, you know, it's about the money, and I just wanted to make sure people understand that you still have fun. It's not quote-unquote a job to you. It's still fun, because if you can do what you love to do and get paid for it, you always said that it's not a job. So I just didn't want it to sound like a job. I wanted you to make it clear that, you know what, I still love what I do. You know, I'm going to feed my family,
no,
but at the same time.
I,
right. If you go get signed up this time, what would you do differently this time that you may have done different than what you did when you were with Hand One? What would you do different this time around?
Money management.
Okay. All right. Okay. And
everybody got what they want, and now I can just hold on to it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. What are your plans when you're done playing basketball? What do you want to do?
I'm going to sleep.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Going to sleep first.
Or get your drink on, one or the other, huh?
Exactly. Get my drink on. Yeah, I do that, too. Oh, man. That's funny. Shaq, one of the other things I did want to ask you is, can you kind of tell people what it was like? Now, I don't mention this often, but I do want to mention it because I think it's important, is that I know for a fact, and I was there when you gave your life to Jesus Christ and got saved. Can you tell people what the difference was before you did that? And now a little bit better, what your experience has been or what have you? Because I know you're not a church guy. Doesn't make you perfect. Doesn't mean either. Because you know me,
I'm
a fan.
I tell people that I really don't like it. But
you really don't like what?
I'm a strong believer. I just don't like church.
Right. Okay. I get you. So, I mean, what was the experience like for you? Going up front and being there, did you feel the change? Did you feel different, or did you feel the same?
Man, it felt kind of the same, but it was different at the same time. Because it was something I haven't done since, I guess, when I was baptized.
Right. Okay. Because I know we have Seth on here. You know, he really talked about the transition, and he said, it's so different. My life
is
so
different.
You know, you feel
different. Can't hear you, Mac.
Can't hear
you,
Mac. Keep talking.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
You start doing this thing in the house, man.
No, I usually do, but I just did this because I was going to be down here at the game, and I didn't feel like doing it at 8 and then driving all the way down here and being late. So,
this is going to be on time. You know 8 o'clock is on time.
Yeah, 8 o'clock is on time. You're right. You're absolutely right. But usually I do this in the house on my landline phone, but, you know, ventured out today. So one of the things I think I wanted to also ask you about is what advice would you give to kids now to the ones who are starting to play basketball now? I mean, what would you say to them? What is your biggest advice you would give to them? Simple advice, not saying, because every kid ain't going to make it pro. Every kid ain't going to, you know, there's too many numbers. But what would you say to
kids? That's the first thing you need to realize is, like, everybody's not a pro.
Right. And even those who are pros don't make it all the way to the NBA. And that's what I try to get through to some people, but they don't understand that. You know, it's only a certain number of slots in the NBA. So that means somebody who's good enough to do it ain't going to make it. Exactly.
Living proof.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I always told Shaq Jerry, I said, if you had went to Division I school for one freaking year, we wouldn't even know you. I told him that. I said, we wouldn't even know him. We wouldn't. I mean, and this is the only guy I know that has pro guys vouch for him. We'll turn to you on any given day and say, baby, Shaq? Yeah, he's a pro. He should be in the league. Everybody says, Shaq told him he should have been. Shaquille O'Neal, he met him and told him he should be in the league. Told him he should be in the league, big to play in the league. And that's a high, that's very high praise. Kevin Durant will tell you. Kevin Durant will tell you off the break. You should be in the play. You should be in the NBA. So.
Wow. Okay.
So he's got, it's not like he's just saying, or people just saying, it's like people who are already in the NBA are saying it. He knows pretty much a lot of guys. Beasley, you name a guy, he probably knows who they are, met him, and they know who he is. He should be there. But he's not, and he's making the best of it and making money out of it. And doing the best he can, and he's enjoying it.
Still living the same lifestyle.
Exactly. Absolutely. Jerry, is there any other questions you may have for
us? Not at this time, no.
Okay. Let me ask these questions. All right, Shaq, what's your favorite food?
Well, anything. That was good. I can't eat seafood, though.
I have a question. What's your favorite drink?
Oh, Lord.
What drink? Like, non-alcoholic beverage?
What's your favorite drink? So you pick it.
Oh, all right. Non-alcoholic Sprite. Alcoholic Long Island.
Oof.
Long Island iced tea. You're a crusty drinker. You're drinking that hard stuff. Oh, man.
It ain't nothing serious. Long Island ain't nothing serious.
I know.
It's controllable. That's why I drink.
What is your dream car?
Huh?
What is your dream car?
Speak up, man. You're down.
Can't hear you.
What is your dream car?
Oh. Charge, I had it. I'm going to get it back. A charger?
A charger? Okay.
Yeah.
You like muscle cars then, I got it.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I remember the day we was outside Chick-fil-A. What did you take a picture of, Shaq?
Huh?
I said when we was outside of Chick-fil-A that time, I said, what's the car you took a picture of?
Oh, Starsky and Hutch vehicle. I don't know the name of it.
Somebody had a Gran Torino. I think out of Starsky and Hutch.
Clean too.
Yeah. Shaq was like, can I take a picture of your car? And drive through and took a picture of it. So
yeah, the dude got out, he said, man, it looked better with me not in it.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. Well, let me ask you this. Can you tell everybody where you have been in the world because of N1 and all your travels of going around on side gangs and things like
everywhere,
that?
Everywhere but China.
You haven't been to China? Oh, you
everywhere but China.
Okay.
So you visited every continent but the country of China?
Yep. Been to the richest to the poorest.
Yep. You got the passport books to prove it.
And what is your favorite, besides the United States, what is your favorite foreign country or whatever?
Dubai.
Dubai?
Yep.
There's nothing but money in Dubai.
It's not even that. It's real peaceful over there. The money, like, it's not even that. The environment is very peaceful.
Okay.
Like, I went over there, and the guy invited me and a couple of teammates to his house. And the neighborhood he was in, the kids, like, they were 2 years old, and they were allowed to run all the way down the block.
Wow.
Their playground was the whole neighborhood. And you're not going to find that nowhere else.
Right.
That's nowhere else. 2 year old is in the house.
Wow. He loves it.
Wow.
And the police over there, they only carry nightsticks. They didn't even have guns.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
So let me ask you this. If you could go anywhere again, that would be Dubai. Is that where you would go again?
Yeah, if I can go again, yeah.
Okay. How is Ball Up different than And One? Is there any difference, or is it just kind of like
it's not?
It's not.
Just different name. That's it.
Okay. And as far as your, how do you like being? That's the other thing I want to ask you. How do you like being around some of your old teammates again? How's that experience been?
Yeah, it's cool. I never really fell off with any of them.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, did you miss them? Was it like picking back up where you left off in y'all's and one, or was it just, you know?
Yeah, they don't treat me no different.
Okay. I heard, and I'm going to put this out there, I heard somebody told me they was at that game in Baltimore and said that, while there, you and Special Effects kind of went back and forth with each other. Is that true?
Yeah.
Y'all did.
And
I said, who got the better of that deal? You were Special Effects. That game in Baltimore.
What
did y'all was going back and forth?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, when is your last game? Your last game is when? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. And where is that going to be?
Can I go now? I'm trying to drink, man. Any other questions?
Okay, I got one more question. Can you just tell people where you go, where this game is at? Is it for the public? Is it for the public?
Yeah, it's for the public. It's in Las Vegas. What's the name of the gym we playing at?
Cops.
Yeah, what he said, the No Homo Arena.
Okay. All right. Well,
the Cox Arena. Ain't it right next to the Thomas and Mack?
Yeah.
Right next to the Thomas and Mack Center.
And what time is the game?
UNLV campus.
Okay. And what time 7. Is the game?
At 7. 7 p.m. All right,
y'all go out and... All right.
7 p.m. Ain't no Eastern time. 10 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. What's this, West Coast time?
West Coast time. Right. All right, well, look, Jack, I want to tell you, I want to appreciate you coming on. I thank you
for
coming on, man.
I appreciate
Jerry, if there's anything, you want to say, that's fine. But I want to appreciate, man. I love him like a brother, man. I want to say thanks, man. I appreciate
you. I'm just a little upset you had the show. For how many months you had the show? And I'm just getting the phone call?
Yeah,
I don't appreciate it.
Oh, man. You already know.
Supposed to be
fans. You already know why. You already
it's cool,
know
though.
Why.
It's cool, though.
No, don't even try.
It's cool, though.
Don't try.
It's cool, though.
See, I save the best for now. So, and I'm going to get you on here again. In fact.
I don't know. I'm good. I'm one time's enough. I call when I feel like it.
We're gonna get you, Lonnie Harrell, and David Aldridge on our pre basketball discussion. I'm gonna get all y'all on the radio at the same time. We're gonna have a big basketball discussion. That's what we're gonna do. I will see you in October, sir. But I appreciate you coming on, man. All right.
Thanks a lot, man. Enjoy the night.
You best believe I will.
Don't drink too much, man.
Oh, no, I'm not. I got game tomorrow. I'm going to enjoy myself, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just Special Effects, I'll
say
what's up. Special the rest. All right, talk to you later, brother.
Dude, he finished his first cup already. I'm one cup behind, Mac. Oh, his second cup. I'm two cups behind.
Bye, man. Bye. All right,
man.
All right,
that's
man.
That's Baby Shaq. Take care.
Oh, man, that's funny.
That was Baby Shaq. He sounds like a character. Trust me, he sounds like a character.
Oh, yes, he is. Very much. I think that's the number one thing that people don't realize about Shaq is that, you know, people come up and ask me sometimes and say, you know, man, Shaq seems like he's a real mean dude. And I'm like, man, y'all don't understand. This dude is a total clown. Anybody who knows Shaq knows that he's a clown. They know this. The people who don't know him don't know it. They just think he's mean and he's a bully. Like, he's not a bully. I said, he just makes you think that. But, you know, he does his thing. So, that's him. He's on tour, like I said, with Ball Up right now. He's just almost over. He'll do this game on Saturday, and he'll be back Sunday back in the DMV. And we play at the Goodman next Friday at 8 o'clock. Y'all want to come down next Friday and see it. We'll be playing with Lincoln Park, the champ, the league champ. We actually have, just to give everybody a Goodman update, Goodman round ball stop.
You're talking low, Mac.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Try it again.
Can you hear me now?
Try it again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Try it again.
Can you hear me now?
You still sound low.
All right, hold on, hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm letting everybody know that the round ball class, the Goodman round ball class, is coming up August 19th. That will be at Henry Wise High School in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And the tickets will be $30, regular general admission. There'll be floor seats for $100, a limited amount. Tickets will go on sale sometime next week, and not on sale now. It'll be announced on our Facebook and on our webpage. So that is going to be the Goodman Selection versus the League. That means we're going to have NBA players here. The lineup, if I had to assume, I know Gilbert Arenas, I know Josh Shelby, I know probably KD, Kevin Durant, and some other guys will be there also. We have this every year usually, and it's pretty good. It's pretty a lot of fun.
And when is this this game?
This is August 19th at Henry Wise in Upper Marlboro.
Okay.
And that's where that'll be at. And we have about another, I think, next week and the week after, and then the season and then the playoffs start for the Goodman, which means we'll be winding down. So, again, if you want to come out and see some great basketball, make sure you get down here for the next, you know, next week and the week after. At that point in time, we'll be playing playoffs. So don't miss it. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of action going on. The playoffs start to get very exciting, starts winding down to our championship. So make sure you get down. Come on down and enjoy the game. Other than that, Jerry, I know we got, it's 7:41, I know we got some time left. And I don't know if you have any topics you want to discuss or anything like that. We can do that. Because I should have known I couldn't keep you from getting distracted for an hour. I knew that wasn't going to work. That's like a kid sitting in one place. It was not going to happen. But if you have anything you want to discuss, I mean,
I don't, Mac. Never, right off the top of my head, no, I don't.
Well, I mean, we can always discuss your precedent statement to the fact of we didn't build it. We can always talk about our dismal.
Well, you know what? I want to talk about, and I don't know this. This is I'm dead serious here. I don't know this. Someone informed me of this today, and I may not get it completely right, but from what I understand, he signed some type of legislation to help black students. Am I right about that? Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't heard. I have not heard the legislation on that. I haven't heard that. I don't even know if that legislation passed. I don't know. Somehow it always ends up costing us more, adding more to the debt. Not to say it's not a good idea. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, usually there's a hefty cost involved. But if he did, I mean, that's great. But you know, I don't want to be a killjoy. But at this point, I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious of anything Obama does now because he's doing just about anything he can to win, which I don't like it. I don't like, put it like this. Let me say it to you this way. It's like the argument me and you had a few weeks ago where I said, you know, right now he's trying to get votes by doing all this stuff. But my thing is, you should have dealt with the economy back when you had control of both houses, you know, when you were doing that. You chose to do medical and didn't do nothing about the jobs, and now you're hollering about jobs because now your time is up. So for me, I hope he's doing the black kid thing because he wants to do it. But I more, but my reason is I think he does it more because he's trying to win votes. Now that's just me. Just like the whole thing about coming out for the, you know, for the same sex marriage. I think he did that because he knew it would be a popular thing and he get a lot of votes for it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that, Mac. I don't think that. I don't think that. That's. I would say that's probably 50-50 nationwide about the same-sex marriage. There's a strong, strong contingency of religious religions that are against the same-sex marriage. Maybe in certain pockets of the nation, more than others, the same-sex marriage is favored. But that's a hot button issue, and for any president,
right,
regardless of what affiliation he is,
right,
Republican or Democrat, to come out either for it or against it, in my opinion, that takes it takes a lot of guts to do it, because you're either alienating your base or giving fuel to the fire to your opposition. So,
let me ask you.
I think it takes, regardless, like I said, regardless of what affiliation a president, a senator, anybody that's in a political arena takes a stand like that, it can be political suicide, or it could be a good thing, and you're taking a heck of a chance by openly coming out like that.
Okay. But let me ask you this. What do you think is the biggest base of his constituency that he turns off?
Turns off?
Yes, by saying that he's for same sex.
White
Who
Christian
would you say is his biggest
sex? White Christian fundamentalists.
I don't think so.
I think I know where you're getting at. That a lot of the black community is against same-sex marriage. I understand, but
right,
the reason I'm saying that is because there are more white people in this country than there are blacks. So the reason I'm saying that is because the reason I said it was white Christian fundamentalists, there's more white Christian fundamentalists that are against that due to the teachings of the Bible,
right,
versus the black people that would disagree with the president. You follow what I'm saying? Because the president, like you were saying, because the president is black. Now, I'm not saying that's the right thing, but real thing.
Well, let me say what I think the real thing is. What I think the real thing is, I think the real thing is that the president, I think, here's what I think. I think what the president did was, I think he had, first of all, I don't think it took a lot of guts, and I don't think it was a risk, and I'll tell you why. Because most of the people who were white people who were Christians weren't going to vote for him anyway, after the dismal record or what. Their chances of them voting for him again was dismal anyway, because most of them thought, you know, he's either Muslim because of his beliefs or whatever, or he don't believe that, or whatever you want to say. So I think they weren't going to vote for him anyway. I think he said it more for the black folks, that either the young black folks or those who are more accepting and saying, okay, that's cool. And I think he had took a calculated risk to figure that, you know what, in the end, African Americans won't vote for me regardless anyway. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen people, especially some of my friends on Facebook, who so-called Christians have relented, have taken aback, or have backed off what they say they believe, just because it's all right. It's kind of cool to go along with the crowd because it's the president. And I've even compromised their beliefs for that. So what I'm saying is, it's just my belief. I believe it was always very calculated. And I think he figured white folks who didn't like him wasn't going to like him anyway. Black folks going to vote for him even if they're against same-sex marriage, going to vote for him anyway. you know, because of the economy, because of the health thing and all that stuff. I don't think it was very I think it was very calculated, but I don't think it was gutsy. You know, it's like it's like the person who's been an athlete all their life, accumulated millions of dollars, had a lot of endorsements, had a great career, stellar career, and then come out after they're done and say, I'm gay. And then people go, oh, that took a lot of guts. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. He got everything. Guts is do it in the beginning before you get everything. Stand for it then. Don't do it now when you need it. So for me,
I don't think he needs it because that's one of the biggest hot button issues for years. That's been one of the biggest hot button issues for years, and he's the first president that I know of that it has been asked that question over and over again. George Bush was asked that question. Bill Clinton was asked that question. George Bush one was asked that question. There's a lot because the and I hate to say it like this, but the gay issue, the same sex marriage or same sex union issue has been going on for decades, and it's been getting a stronger following and stronger notice recently. That all these presidents that I named have been asked that question and have dodged that question, and he is the only one that I know of that's come out either for it or against it.
But you know what? But to be honest with you, that's why I said your point is that's why I said I think it was very calculated, but I don't think it was gutsy because I think he purposely did answer the question and did. He calculated it. He said it. People like you were going to say, you know what? No other president's ever done it. And say, you know what? He's got the cojones, he got guts because he did something nobody else would touch. So I give him, I give you that. I see your argument. But for me, I don't think it was much of a risk. Now, do I think it would be a risk for Romney or a white president to come out and say that? You doggone skippy. Especially a Republican and especially a white guy or a black Republican. I think the same guy I don't think any other president could do that. Obama could do it, but I tell you this, I don't know of another president ever in the history of this country that will ever do it again. I don't think
My question is this. Why not come out for or against it? One way or the other. Why not?
I agree. No. Let me straighten that out. Jerry,
right.
Jerry, to be honest with you, I agree that presidents and people should come out. Whether you should know, especially me having the show that I have and the way I talk. You see the stuff I post on Facebook. I'm not afraid of losing friends or anybody about that because I've just come up to the fact that I'm just so sick and tired of people apologizing, backing off statements, saying, well, no, I shouldn't have said that, because everybody is all based on fear of loss. If I do this, I'll lose this, and this. So let me walk it back or apologize, and I'm sick of it. You know, and I'm saying if you say something, then stand behind it and mean it. No matter what the punishment, no matter what comes out of it, no matter how bad it gets, stand for what you believe. So I'm not going to sit and tell you now, do I wish that presidents would come out in one way or the other and stand for what they stand for? You doggone skippy, I wish they would. If you're a Christian, say you're a Christian. If you a Muslim, say you're a Muslim. If you a Buddhist, say you're a Buddhist. I mean, I may not agree with you, but that's not going to make me dislike you. Because my Christian values show me that I don't care whether you're straight, gay, funny, fruity, from another planet, whatever. My Bible says that I have to love you and respect your choices and respect your lifestyle choice because that's you. Because God gives you a free will. It's not for me to give you a free will. I'm going to respect your choice because God respects your choice. But whatever comes out of that comes as a result of that choice, that's on you. You have to answer for that, not me. So I wish that presidents would. Do I give Barack Obama credit for doing it? Okay. All right. We did something nobody else did. So I think it was that gutsy? No. Because I think, I just think the black folks who didn't like him gonna vote for him anyway because of the things they like that he did or because he's black or because whatever. And I think those people who were Christians who are white wasn't gonna vote for him anyway because there's a lot of them. And again, just to show you I'm not favoritism, most of those feel that he's a Muslim.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, that's I mean,
to be honest with you, I personally think he's a Muslim. Do I think that's a bad thing? No.
You know, I can't believe.
I grew up around Muslims, though. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I've grown up around seeing pies and ties and guys out on the street watching us and protecting us and making sure none were jumping off in the street. I don't have a bad thing to say about being a Muslim. I don't. I'm not a Muslim. Do I dislike them? No. That's their choice. I respect their religion because there are certain aspects of their religion that I like. You know, the dress, the orderliness, the orderliness, things like that. You know, but, you know, where I have differences with them, does it mean I dislike them? No. You know, if a guy walks up to me, a Muslim walks up to me in the street and says, like they do when I stop at the light and say, you want to buy a pie, whatever, to support, I'm like, no, I don't, nothing like that, but I'm good with that. Do I have differences with them? No, I don't, because fundamentally, we don't believe the same. You know, they believe, my Bible says that everybody is to be loved. I can't call a white man a devil. Not when he helps me and does things for me, just like a black man does things for me. I'm not going to sit around and call a black man something because a bunch of KKK people do it. We don't believe that either. I don't believe that either. So, you know, like I said, I just try to bring light to the whole thing. But like I said, do I think he's a Muslim? Yes, but that's not a bad thing. Some people take that as a bad thing. I don't.
Well,
go ahead.
When you equate the president in this day and age to being a Muslim because of what's happened with 9/11, he's put in a negative light for the simple fact is that for those that aren't educated about the Muslim and the Muslim teachings, for a true Muslim is not a violent person. You have certain sects of Muslim that are, but for the general public for the mass media that has painted Muslims in a violent manner, when you equate somebody that's a public figure as a Muslim, they're painted in a negative light automatically because the fact is they're stereotyped as a terrorist.
Right, but that's out of ignorance. Just like the white folks who sit around and say, you know, President Obama's is a Muslim, and they take it negative. To me, all I say is they're ignorant. So just like you think that, just like when I call black folks ignorant when they don't know what they're talking about, white folks don't know what they're talking about either. They're ignorant when they think that he's a Muslim and that's something now negative. There are aspects of every most religions that aren't agreed upon by everybody. It's not the same. So when I say Muslim, I'm not saying in a negative form or that the president's violent. What I'm saying is, and here's the one thing I know. The Bible says, "You shall know my people by the fruit that they bear, by the things that they do, by the things that they say." Now, based on that scripture out of the Bible that I read, that I follow in mine, he's not a Christian. Now you can sit and say now people can get mad at me and say, well, that how could you say that? But here's the thing. But before anybody gets mad at me and says, how do you know, how can you judge him as not being a Christian? What I'm going by is what Jesus said. Jesus said if you don't do certain things, if you don't acknowledge, okay, for instance, let's go here. Let's go there just for the in a few minutes. Let me go here just 1 minute.
Okay.
The Bible says that if a man lays with another man, it's an abomination. It's an abomination, and it's a terrible thing. It's a disgusting thing, okay? So what that's saying is God is against the gay lifestyle. If you do that, it's an abomination. Now, that doesn't mean I hate this person. You do what you want. That's your lifestyle. At the end of your life, you got to answer to God about it, not me, okay? So if I'm a Christian, and I follow the teachings of Jesus, and I teach the Bible, and that's one of his teachings, and I say I'm for same-sex marriage, well, how can I be a Christian? How can I say that? That would be like a person saying that I believe in people stealing, but I'm a Christian. You would say,
you say that, but if you think he's a Muslim, if you know anything about the Muslim religion, the Muslims are definitely against a man laying with another man or a woman laying with another woman. In a Christian and a Muslim religion are absolutely same in that time, in that frame. that they think it's an abomination, and that it's an evil thing. So you can't say that the man is not a Christian and he's a Muslim because of the fact he's saying he agrees with having same-sex marriage or whatever, things of the same sex. In my opinion, it's something I believe he believes in. He may not agree with it.
I believe he believes in a lot of stuff. I believe he kind of believes a lot of stuff.
I don't believe I don't think he believes it, but he readily accepts it for the simple fact it's for a lot of people in this country, it's a way of life. Regardless of how you feel about it, whether it's on one side or the other, it's not going to change. It's probably going to be more prominent with more people coming out because it'll be more accepted. So more people are going to be coming out.
I mean, it's been around as long as there's been turning. I mean, if you think about it, this ain't nothing new. But if you read Revelation, you read the Bible, I'm not surprised by where the world is right now, because it says in the last days it will be like the days of Noah. So think about how bad the days of Noah were, because it was so bad. If you believe the Bible, God wiped everybody out except Noah and the animals and his family, and started over again. That's how bad they were. He said, I'm wiping everybody out. Get them out of here. Let's start all over again. You know, so that's pretty bad. So if this is the day like the days of Noah, imagine how bad it is. Because now you got everything. You ever got every kind of perversion you can. You got everything. That's anything you want to do, do it. Nobody cares. I mean, seriously, you got the most prevalent evil times is now. Trust me. I see it. And I read my Bible and I see everything that they're saying. It's here. It is what it is. You know, but, you know, I give the president, I give him credit for saying it. You know, but do I think it was much of a risk as far as getting elected or getting more votes? Nah, I don't think it was. I think the people who are going to vote for him. Because today they just came out with a poll that said he's tied.
It all depends on who's giving the poll out and what time of day they're giving the poll out, because those polls change from hour to hour and day to day. So I don't put too much stock in them. Let me finish this. All I know is that there was a poll, or I'm giving you another poll, that because of the negative campaigning that's been going back and forth between President Obama and Mitt Romney, both negativity percentages have increased on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know that or not.
No, I knew that, but I knew this was going to happen. This is going to be the most. This is probably, to be honest with you, based on me and you and our ages, this is probably the most vile, most dirtiest campaign I've ever seen. Period.
And Mac, to tell you the truth, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. Because
November.
This is going to be one of the nastiest drag out fights. I see it coming. I haven't seen anything like it is. And this is what? July going into August. So you can imagine what's going to happen up until November and how down and dirty it's going to be. So.
Oh, yeah. But you know why? Because of the radical difference between what Barack Obama believes and what traditional American values are. This is the election of our lifetime. It is.
Well, you know, let me put it this way. What you just said, what Barack Obama believes and what the traditional America believes. I can't believe you said that. Rather than say what Barack Obama believes and Mitt Romney believes, you went Barack Obama believes and what traditional America believes. I can't believe you did that.
Let me be clear. Let me be a little more clear. What I'm saying to you is that Barack Obama believes in tax and sin, instead of being conservative and holding the money. That's what Democrats believe. I've never been a fan of that, you know. But at the same time, let me say this to you. I'm not, and I've said this before, which for some reason everybody thinks I'm for Romney. I am not for Romney completely sold on, like, yeah, okay, Romney. I'm more of the, like, let me be clear. I'm more of the mindset of this way. Let me give you my mindset. My mindset is this. The economy is a business. Your home economy, my home is an economy, our business is our economy, everything is
right.
An economy. It's a business.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
The only reason why I even want to see Romney get it is because for a man who knows how to run a business and has done it for years and been successful at it, I would rather give him a shot at making things better than what Barack Obama has done, a man who has not had a business, who does not know how to run a business, who has never run a business. So that's all I'm saying. Now, do I believe that Barack Obama in his heart is trying to do the right things for the right people? Sure. Do I believe he's on an agenda? Yes. Do I believe his agenda is in line with American values? No, I don't. I think what he's doing is he's trying to help people, which is an American value. But the way he's going about it is completely wrong, man. I mean, I haven't seen anything yet that has made me look at Barack Obama and say, you know what, this guy really knows what he's doing. It's crazy. And, you know, I mean, that's just me. I'd rather have a guy who knows how to run a business run the economy. The economy is a business. And that's where I am with it. Now, if you tell me Mitt Romney is the best person for president, nope. Mitt Romney wasn't my first choice. Wasn't the choice that I wanted. But since he is the nominee, the one thing I can look at and say is that, well, I like the fact that he has business experience. And to those people who make this a big deal about, well, you know, Mitt Romney took jobs out of here and did this and did that and, you know, he this and that, I never in my life have ever heard of venture capitalists or venture people being so vilified, yet they've been around since this country's been in, and nobody's ever had a problem with it until now because the guy's against their guy. So now it's like, well, venture capitalists, you know, they come in and they fire people and this and that, but think of it this way, Jerry. If you go into a business and you buy a business, let's say you go buy a business, Jerry. Let's say you go buy, I don't know what you like to do. Let's say you're a professional T-shirt printer. You like T-shirt printing. You go buy a T-shirt printing business.
Right.
You go into that business and you look at it. You're going to look at the assets. You're going to look at what it has. You're going to look at the profit. You're going to look at their books before you buy it. And when you buy
Absolutely.
It, you pretty much know what you got to do to it to fix it, to make it
right.
profitable.
Right.
Okay? So you go in and you do it. Now, that may mean you may have to fire some people. Stealing, not coming to
sure.
work on time, not good employee, don't treat the customers right. You got to fire some of them. You got to
right.
do what you got to do. You got to invest some money, build it, whatever. So if this is the way of this is the way the American economy, the way the market's always been from the time we started this, I don't understand where people vilify him because he did that, because he started a company and did that, and everybody goes like, well, he's a venture capitalist. Personally, me myself, I don't think anybody gives a rat's butt about him being at Bain Capital, starting Bain Capital, what he did. Yeah, you fire some people, but guess what? You always going to fire people. I fired people when I was at Pizza Hut. I'm pretty sure if you go back and talk to those people, they'll tell you I was the worst general manager at Pizza Hut ever. But that's
mm-hmm.
what I did. But guess
mm-hmm.
what? This got better, and things grew, and we made money, and I was an all-star out of 800,000 employees. I was one of 300 to go on a trip and become an all-star. You know how good
mm-hmm.
you have to be for that? You know, so what I'm trying to say to you is this, that I'm tired of the whole Bain Capital thing. I'm tired of all that. Now, I'm going to throw you a bone, and you're going to like this, but I'm going to throw you a bone. Even though Barack Obama said what he said the other day about you didn't build that, do I believe that he really meant that? I don't believe he really meant that. I believe he was talking about something else. I don't think he meant it like you didn't build your business. Now, they attack it and things like that. That's the one thing I will say. I don't believe Barack. When he said that, I didn't believe that what he was saying. I think it was a gaffe. I don't believe he said that. And I don't
mm-hmm.
believe he meant that like that. Because common sense would say he was a Harvard. So I'll give you that. That part I do think is unfair that they're going on it. But, you know, this is a nasty campaign. This is what people do. They go after the guy and go after whatever. Every time he makes a mistake, you attack. And I just think, you know, that's an unfair attack. But then again, you know, I think it was an unfair attack on the Bain Capital thing, too. So, you know, it's dirty on both sides, Jerry. But you know what, Jerry? All I can say to you is this. if Barack Obama gets another 4 years, we're going to find out. We're going to find out how many people really trust God and how many people walk by faith. We're going to find out. That's all I say. Because
okay.
If we don't, because if we have another 4 years in him, you better be. We're going to find out how much you really trust God, because this economy is going through hell in a handbasket. It is. So that's all. That's the last I say about that political stuff.
Well, we are a little over, about 10 minutes, 8:10, but that's okay. I mean,
yep.
We're still on the air, and it was good. It was good conversation.
Yes, it was.
Some of us, we can agree to disagree, and
right.
I know we're going to be doing this again before the election and even after the election. So,
but
it is what it is.
Actually, if Barack Obama, I'm going to be actually. If Barack Obama loses, I ain't saying nothing. For about 4 years, I'm going to do like y'all do. I'm going to support whatever. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to show y'all how it feels to go for the guy y'all don't like. Like, I'm just playing. No. No, yeah, we're going to talk about it. I know we are, because I know you, Jerry, you and Vic going to bring it up anyway, so I can't help it anyway. That's just what it is. But, you know, I do want to say one thing before we leave, though. I do want
right.
to thank all the listeners. Man, the numbers last week were ridiculous. Were just great numbers for Delani Harrell and David Aldridge thing last week. And I just really want to thank every person that listened to the show. I really do, because without y'all, you know, the show would not go the way it is. I know I have
exactly.
good guests, but that don't mean y'all have to tune in. So I really want to appreciate everybody who did that. I mean, we had over 4,000 to 5,000 listeners last week. I'm just so humbled, and I'm really thankful for that, man. I love the show, and I love doing it, and it makes me want to do it even more when I hear numbers like that. So, you know, Jerry, I just want to thank you for being my host. You know, Vic, he did a great job last week, but,
yep.
You know, I don't really
like Vic. It's always a pleasure, and I like the stimulating conversation. I don't get a chance to talk to many people about politics, especially
nah.
somebody – who's on the opposite end of what I believe.
Exactly.
So.
But you know what? That's what it's all about, and I just want people to understand that. What we do here on the radio, man, I wish everybody would do out in life. No matter what
right.
you talk about, whatever side you're on, man, learn to debate, man. Learn to respect another person's view. Even if you don't like it, don't dislike the person. Don't avoid the person. Discuss and leave peacefully and just agree to disagree. It's nothing to fight over, hate somebody about, whatever. Because when it's all said and done, we all going through life. We all living life. And in the end, really, to be honest with you, politics is really minute on the scale of important things in life. It really is.
Right.
It matters a lot. But to be honest with you, my faith, my God, and my family means more to me than politics any day of the week. So
I couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah. With that said, I'll let you take us out, man. And I just want to thank everybody for listening. And we will be back here again next week at 7 o'clock on the dot.
And this has been No Chaser, JT, and the host, Mac. And we're out. Enjoy the weekend.
All right.